Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports, Nothing But Sports with Kent Sterling. Our very special guest today, the great Big Easy, the great Zach McCright from down south of here, a Louisville radio icon. How you doing, Easy?
Yeah. Boy, you throw around icon real loosely.
I call everybody great. So take no, there's nothing I know, about that.
Good. Don't worry. I don't. The great and the icon, those are not synonymous with me. But nevertheless, I am good.
How are you dealing with all of this? And how is how's media in your world changing because of COVID?
You're looking at it.
Yeah.
I mean, this studio right here, I'm not saying it's this studio was birthed from this, but it's gotten a whole lot more use now. That's for sure. So, I don't know how it is in other markets, but, I work from time to time with ESPN Louisville, and they have been very, very pro work remotely on air, and luckily we're at a point in the world of technology to where you can get it to sound pretty close to studio quality sound wherever you are, and video for that matter, wherever you are. And so they've been very, very for that sort of escape, if you will. And I think it's going to stick. I mean, I don't know about in Louisville, but I think you're going to see this in other markets to where it used to be the most luxurious of luxuries for a radio host in any genre to be able to work from their home. I can only think of one, and it's a very obscure reference, which I don't think many will get, but there was a longtime radio host in Miami by the name of Neil Rogers. And I was interested in that market for a time when I was much younger, excuse me. And it was like, well, it's 12 o'clock, it's 12 noon. I was down there looking at WQAM, I believe. And where's that sound coming from? And it was like, oh yeah, it's Neil. He lives in Toronto. I'm like, what? Like, yeah. And this was like 2006, 2007, 2008, so that was very, very, that didn't happen. Yeah. He's just broadcasting from his house. Like, okay. And he's an icon in the South Florida area. I feel like that's going to happen in a lot of places now. I think that's the one thing that's going to change. Who knows how fast, but I think you might see studios or radio corporations decide, hey, let's not spend all of our money on real high tech sound compression equipment, everything that goes in a rack, right.
And
microphones, et cetera, et cetera. Let's see what we can do from this guy's house, and we'll give him something that I don't have. We'll give this guy a couple of soundproof walls and see what happens. And I feel like eventually, I don't know how quickly, but I feel like eventually that's where we're going to be.
You see it on TV too, right? They've got shows on all the news networks with four or five people all in distant locations. And all they're doing is what we're doing. We're using laptops or iPhones to convey their image and their audio. And boom, it seems professional, and we're adapting to it, I think, quite well as an audience.
And how long have we seen that? And I know it's a different medium, but how long have we seen that in the print medium? I mean, we're all typing from the proverbial basement now, right? And including not just bloggers and that type, but I mean, all of the very well-known, very well-respected writers around the country are all typing from a desk that is 100 feet from their bedroom.
Right.
And so, so I don't see why. I mean, it seems as though everything evolves, everything in our lives evolves, including our lives outside of these walls. This is the next natural step, right? At least it feels that way in this business.
Let's talk about Louisville for a minute. Indianapolis has got the 500, and the 500 was scrubbed during the month of May, and it's going to be run, hopefully, knock wood, on August 23rd. The Derby is going to be run later. What was Louisville, how did Louisville adapt to a non-Derby kind of late April, early May?
Great question. It was odd. I didn't know how odd it was going to be until it got here. I mean, we all kind of speculated, but that was right in the middle of everybody being in quarantine and everybody getting fed up with being in quarantine, you know? And so I think everybody took it hard. They would have taken it hard regardless, but that on top of most people being inside their house with the houses, with the exception of going to the grocery for the 6 to 8 weeks leading up to that point, made it, I think, very, very tough on a lot of the people who love this area. I think the good news, if there was any, was that a lot of places had some sort of racing. So if the racing diehards at least got a little bit of a fix.
Yeah.
It hurt. And I think the biggest thing I think it's going to end up hurting in the Louisville area is the local economy. Now it is slated for Labor Day weekend. So, and Churchill Downs said they are planning, and they just had a press conference last week, they're planning to have a very limited number of people. Now, usually the Derby has, much like the Indy 500, the Derby will hold about 150,000 people or somewhere thereabouts. They're going to limit it to 20,000. So it's going to be slim pickings in there. And you know, I get it. There's going to be a lot of room around each other if you want to be that way.
Right.
But the question will become, I think, and I think we'll have, there'll be more of this story as we get closer to September, is how is this helping or hurting the local economy? It obviously hurt, it hurt everybody at the same time back in May. So there was no real, diversion to see or specification on how it really hurt the economy as it pertains to the Derby itself. We're going to find out now in September when the attendance drops by 75% and all of the other numbers that go with the Kentucky Derby, that are associated with the Kentucky Derby, go down and see what really happened to the local economy in 2020 compared to markets similar to Louisville around the entire country when they don't have that one marquee event.
Has Louisville basketball suffered at all from a popularity standpoint because of Katina Powell and Rick Pitino and Jurich and all the crap that happened with that program that seems to be in the past now?
Well, I'll get back to that last couple of words you said in a second there, because I'm not sure it's completely in the past. However, yes, I do think there was some... I don't think I realized until it happened the pull that Rick Pitino had. And when I say pull, I mean just the pull in, you know, the gate pull.
Right.
The pull into the arena. There was a buzz about the program, especially under his tenure, that people around here took for granted. I know I certainly did. And, you know, Pitino versus Calipari. I mean, you know, what a great combination of adversaries to put against each other that were rivals before either of them arrived on their respective campuses, and they're 60 miles away from each other. And those two personalities are just, I mean, they're perfect for this rivalry. And I think that added to just the popularity of the rivalry. Since Pitino's departure and the arrival of Chris Mack, I mean, you can just look at attendance and realize, okay, the Yum Center's a big place, right? I mean, it would be, if it ever became an NBA arena, I think if I recall correctly, it was either going to be the number one or number two biggest NBA arena if it ever did. And that was the reason they built it, or one of the reasons they built it. I mean, it holds 23,000. It was filling up every night under Pitino, and it's not there yet. Now, the numbers that still get to the Yum Center would fill up most any arena in the college basketball arena in the country, but you still see that little dip that only people in Louisville would really realize. And that's with a Louisville team last year that got to number one in the country. I mean, it for a short time. And it's just not quite there yet. I mean, it's just odd around here. And I think it all has to do with, and this is, it's back to the last part of your question, that cloud just hangs. And yeah. It's an NCAA cloud. I think Louisville fans are over the fact that, yes, the indiscretions that were here on this campus were certainly at the very least unethical and maybe even more than that, immoral, it's illegal, et cetera. Who knows, right? But the NCAA cloud that still hangs over now, maybe past Katina Powell, but on to Brian Bowen.
Yeah.
Is one that sits there and I think really messes with the psyche of the Louisville fan, whether they'll admit it or not. You don't want to get too emotionally attached to something or have the bravado that a college sports fan likes to carry around with a college basketball program like Louisville when you're not sure if and or when that other shoe will drop. And so I think that all kind of it's a weird storm that's kind of been brewing here ever since Chris Mack stepped on campus. And Chris has done a pretty good job, you know, kind of maneuvering through those murky waters. But everybody's kind of waiting for the other shoe. And I think you see that in the arena on game night.
And that's the difference to me between Pitino and Mack. Basketball acumen, Mack might actually be a better coach. I don't know. But from a charisma perspective and a guy you put on a billboard, Pitino draws eyeballs in a way that Chris Mack will never.
And I feel like that's the difference between college sports and pro sports, right?
Yeah.
Regardless of sport. When it's a pro sport, we gravitate, for lack of a better word, to the player. We gravitate to LeBron James. We gravitate to Tom Brady. We gravitate to, you know, fill in the blank, right?
Right.
In college sports, almost all college sports, I mean, I can't really think – I'm trying to go through a list of college football players that we really do that to. Do we do it to Taylor Lawrence? I don't know. But I feel like we do it to Rick Pitino, and we do it to Nick Saban, and we do it to Ed Orgeron. And, the Bill Self, Roy Williams, I mean, John Calipari, it happens everywhere to where in college sports, we need one personality that's not going to leave us every year or every 2 years or every 3 years, like they do in college sports. We need to latch on to that person. And that's our guy. That's our guy. And so when you lose a Rick Pitino, the replacement is not going to be the same as it pertains to that sort of personality, that sort of magnetic personality to where, yes, I love everything he's doing. He has to win, but I also love everything he says. And if I don't like what he says, I'll find a way to defend it because that's my guy.
Right.
And so far, I think Louisville fans are having a tough time with that, but it's not all Chris Mack's fault. I think Chris Mack, we saw in the Cincinnati Xavier rivalry, right? Whenever you had the brawl, and it was Mick Cronin, Cincinnati Bearcats, and Chris Mack, Xavier Musketeers. I mean, you saw some personality from both of those coaches.
It's a similar dynamic, I think, to Indiana, where Bob Knight is still this, and Pitino will be this way in Louisville for a long time. Knight is still this monolithic figure in Bloomington, and Archie Miller is neither as dynamic nor as successful. And so people kind of keep their distance a little bit. At least Crean had some gravitas and had the number one team in 13 for a bit. And so you could kind of rally around that. But with Miller, we've yet to get there. So I totally get what you're saying. Thanks for taking the time, brother.
Hey, happy to do it, man. I get to use the at-home stuff. It's a lot of you all about your at-home stuff. You're good. You're good to go. I don't get to use this as often, so I'm in.
Thank you, Easy. Say hey to Lady Britt, of course.
Will do.
All right, Breakfast with Kent, Monday morning, 8 o'clock on Facebook Live, and then, of course, immediately following that on Twitter and Periscope, all brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry.